Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
Saturday, November 24th, Oscar De La Hoya's Golden Boy Promotions presents Chuck the Iceman Liddell as he returns to the cage to take on the Huntington Beach bad boy, Tito Ortiz, in their third and final chapter of their historic rivalry at the Fabulous Forum, plus a fully stacked undercard of competitive MMA talent. Don't miss this night of historic rivalry, Saturday, November 24th at the Forum. Tickets start at $30 and are available at Ticketmaster.com or by calling 800-745-3000.
Welcome to The Fighter's Voice. I'm your host, Don McGuire. We got a terrific show for you today. Usually I do music on Sundays, but I felt it was very prevalent to bring this practitioner on. Her story is one of adversity and triumph, and no better way, you know, person to share it than herself. So welcome to the program, Rachel Beach. Rachel, how are you doing?
Thank you. Thank you for having me on the show. It's a pleasure to speak with you, and I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Well, like I said before the show, I'm mending a broken foot, but the show must go on. You know, I kind of want to start things off differently. I don't know if you've ever listened to my show before, but we give a 360 perspective into who you are as a person. No drama on the show, no hidden questions, no hidden agenda, just not your Wikipedia or Tapology show. But what inspires me about jiu-jitsu is the artistry of it. What truly inspires you, Rachel? What drove you to the mat? What is the aspect that you found in your heart that you couldn't live without?
Yeah, I mean, every person that you speak with that is a practitioner has a different story. But myself personally, as a child, I suffered from a lot of severe anxiety attacks. And it went into adulthood, and I just kept getting really frustrated with, you know, what was the options that I had in front of me, and it wasn't satisfying enough for me. I didn't want to go on, you know, prescription medications, and it just wasn't the route that I wanted to take. And so someone suggested to try out a jiu-jitsu class, and here I am almost 12 years later, just, you know, a completely opposite person of what I was. You know, my anxiety attacks are almost non-existent now because of the training that I've endured. So it's been life-altering for me, and that's kind of one of my motivations. And then as I continued to train, I became an instructor and competitor, and it just kind of got me hooked being, transitioning from a student to a coach and having, the rewards of my students coming to me and saying, hey, I learned this, and I feel so much better. I competed, and so it's, there's many aspects of jiu-jitsu that motivate me and keep me training on this.
Yeah. You know, you speak of the early days of anxiety, you know, and this and that. What aspect truly, or who was the person that gave you the intent to go towards jiu-jitsu, you know, other than, I guess the best way to say it is, was it a family member? What type of aspect led you to that, you know, to realize that this was an aspect of you that, God, I can't even speak today. I'm sorry.
Okay.
It kind of a bold question. That's horrible. I've done thousands of shows for 15 years.
That's okay.
Because I got so many questions I want
to ask. I understand where you're getting to.
Yeah. Well,
one of the friends that I had
was
involved.
Who was the person that gave you the intent to go to the mat, and how did you perceive it as that type of aspect that you needed?
Yeah, so one of my good friends, he was trying to pursue an MMA career himself, and so I would follow his amateur fights and whatnot, and I found it to be really interesting. And then when later talking to him about stuff, about, you know, my anxiety and everything, and he's still a great friend to this day, he was like, you know, this might be a really good option for you to try out. And sure enough, when I started to train, it gave me something to focus on other than my outside thoughts. So it was like survival mode and just focusing on technique and enjoying the environment of, you know, it's like a very family oriented experience when you're on the mats with your teammates. So that's how I got introduced to it.
it's crazy because when I first got introduced to it, I hated it. I'll be honest with you. I wasn't a practitioner at first. I got asked to shoot some seminars for Rafael Lovato and J.W. Wright and a couple other professors, and I agreed to do it because I'll be honest, the money was good, and I'm sitting there going, this is the most boring stuff I've ever shot. And then I shot the Respect tournament, and I'm sitting there with 27 to 30 of the greatest black belts in the country, if not the world, and I found myself being in awe, you know, so I wanted to learn more about this, and so I dwelled into it more on my shows, and I interviewed J.W. Wright, who happens to be a really good personal friend, and he owns Fuji, Fuji Jiu-Jitsu, and all different aspects of the sport and businesses, and I asked him, I said, you pretty much have done everything in your life. I said, what would you like to add to that list that isn't there? And he said, for you to put down a camera and put on a gi and roll with us. And so I got my first role under J.W. Wright, and I also got choked out my first day under J.W. Wright. It was tremendous, though. I got to admit, I fell in love with jiu-jitsu from that day. But what I want to ask you is, what did Professor Mondelli from American Top Team teach you, and what did he instill in you as a person that allowed you to want to grow and continue this aspect of the jiu-jitsu artistry?
That's a great question. I mean, so many years ago when I first started, I'm a completely different person, so my goals now are different, and how I'm influenced now by my coaches are different as well. But he was the first person, obviously, to introduce me to jiu-jitsu. And, you know, just showing me the bonds between people and how, you know, if you speak with other individuals who train, they always talk about all the plateaus that they hit in every belt rank. And Luigi was one of those guys that was really, really good at motivating you to continue through your hardships and whatever mental blocks you had. And so I didn't really have an option to give up because he was a great coach and installed in me some ethics and habits that, you know, I carry with myself today. I don't have that I give up mentality, you know. So it was a great starting ground for me when I was living in Connecticut. I'm really fortunate to have him influence me in that way and get me kickstarted.
Yeah. You know, it was a tremendous day for me. I don't know if you know who this gentleman is, but Professor John Owano came on my show, and he's one of the first people back in the early 90s who went over to Brazil. He saw jiu-jitsu and fell in love with it, him and a couple buddies, and they came back to the States. And they said, well, you know what? We want more of this training. So they had met a couple purple belts while they were over there. And they said, if we pay for you guys to come over here and stay for a while, will you guys train us? Well, he said, well, yeah. And we happen to know another purple belt at the time. That was Vitor Belfort. So here you got John Owano, Joe Rogan, Vitor Belfort, three or four other individuals that came over here and started training jiu-jitsu in the early 90s. So they were really the beginning of that aspect in the United States. And then Carlson Gracie Sr. decided to open up an academy, and I believe it was in Huntington Beach. And John Owano was the first American ever given a black belt under Carlson Gracie Sr. And I asked him a question, and I'm going to ask you this question, because I've asked several other women professors, and I've asked other different practitioners, and I like to get everybody's take on it, because what he told me astounded me. You know, I heard that there was sexism, inequality, and certain different aspects of the artistry of jiu-jitsu, especially with the old man jiu-jitsu, that don't feel that sometimes there's a place for a woman in the gym. They don't want to roll with them. They don't believe they belong there. And, you know, I got kind of like a 50-50 deal, but then when I had John Owano on, he says, I hate to admit it, but it truly does exist. Rachel, have you ever had to experience that type of aspect in the artistry?
I mean, yes and no. And what I mean by that is, within my schools, I have never experienced any of that type of behavior on the mats with my training partners. Everyone has been extremely good to me throughout my training, but I have encountered it outside, you know, in tournaments or events. You know, there's different, I'm trying to say this the nicest way, but we have different opportunities offered to us. Not as much as I should say. It's a very male-dominated sport still, and while it is growing, you know, I'm happy that it's come to the point that it is, because when I first started training, I was the only girl on my team for the first 3 years of my training. So to go from that and then here, you know, today, there's a wide range of women that training now, which is awesome to see the growth in that area. I've been lucky enough to not have that, you know, kind of mentality on the mats. While every once in a blue moon, I meet people outside of, you know, our schools that kind of give those vibes off. And I kind of shrug it off. You know, it is what it is. Like, I'm the type of person where I treat people the way I want to be treated. And if they're not going to install that same behavior with, you know, and replicate it back, then, you know, I just continue on and do my own thing. I don't have to have those people surrounding me in my circle, you know? So.
I like that, because I've had Professor Jenna Bishop on, I've had Gabby Romero, several other aspects on the women's side, but it was kind of unique for me to have a professor of that magnitude say that this does exist. So it's something that I think is just like you said, it's a hit or miss when it comes to wherever you train at. You know, you've been in jiu-jitsu for quite a while. How would you say it's more defined you in your walk, just not as a practitioner, but as a young lady in life?
How has it defined me? Is that what you asked?
Not just, how has it defined you, you know, not just as a warrior having this aspect in your life, but also as a young lady moving forward?
Oh, like I said, like, it's been a life-altering experience for me, not to mention, you know, like, in a sense where my anxiety attacks are non-existent. So that in itself is life-altering. But before I got involved with jiu-jitsu, I was a teacher, a nursery school teacher. And so there's a lot that you learn on the mats that can be applied in everyday life. And just having the self-discipline and the patience and the willingness to, like, show new people that come in the same kind of – it's intimidating to walk onto the mats being a white belt and not knowing anything about jiu-jitsu, you know, especially as a female practitioner. You don't know anything about jiu-jitsu, and here you are stepping on the mats with a bunch of big guys, you know, majority of my training partners are big guys. So imagine walking into a school, not knowing anyone and not knowing anything about jiu-jitsu and trying it for the first time. It's a very intimidating experience. But having the people that, you know, like my teammates, install the family mentality and just, you know, when I'm off the mats and cause I teach every day. So when I'm not there, I'm getting phone calls or text messages saying, hey, you should be in class training with us. What's going on? And that's what I love the most about this community, is that it doesn't stop on the mats. It continues outside of the mats. And when you're training with someone every single day, you build these really strong bonds. And sometimes they're stronger than your own biological family members, you know, and because you're with them every day, you're sweating, beating yourself up over stuff, and they're right there with you. So it's really given me a lot of strength in everyday, you know, not just the good times, but the bad times too. You know, like, it's just given me a different outlook. I'm a lot more of a patient person now than I was a few, you know, years ago. Hope that answers your question.
Oh yeah, it does. I have to agree with you. It's the brotherhood, sisterhood of jiu-jitsu is tremendous. You know, I started a para-athlete jiu-jitsu show, and It's crazy because I never realized that in jiu-jitsu that even if you were an amputee that you had to go against able-bodied. So I took on the fight to create an aspect for the para-fighters. So they have their own divisions in American tournaments, and I was successful just, I think, 4 or 5 months ago in getting that accomplished with Fuji. They're now allowing para-categories in their tournaments, which is tremendous. You know, the one thing I love about jiu-jitsu is the growth, the aspect, the change that you see in yourself. You know, one reason why I wanted you on the show, because a lot of people don't understand the defining aspect of what jiu-jitsu is, and you kind of explained it in your last answer. It truly is a brotherhood and a sisterhood. But what inspired you and led you to Henzo Gracie, Texas? Because that truly is a tremendous place, and it had to be a life-changing experience for you.
This is a very interesting answer. I didn't plan on being in Texas at all. I was actually driving across country doing some soul searching and was planning to go to California and then come back and figure out where I wanted to live after that. But while I was in Texas, I decided to stop at Professor Brian Marvin's school at Henzo Gracie Houston, because I had met him previously through Mission 22. I was working as a health coach for Mission 22, providing nutritional counseling to all the veterans that came through that program. And so I had known him through Mission 22 and also We Defy Foundation, which we can also talk a little bit further about that, because it kind of touches on what you just spoke about earlier. But so I stopped in to say hi and train for a week and then just continue with my road trip. But as I was training there, I started helping out with some of the kids' classes because, as I said before, I was previously a nursery school teacher, so I had a good background with education. My major was in early childhood education with special needs children. And so he had asked, hey, my kids' classes are getting really big. Do you have any interest in teaching at our school? And I, at the time, I was working remotely. I was working actually for Fuji Sports. I was like, hey, I'm in the position where I can kind of, I'm not married, I don't have kids, and I have a remote job, so let's try this. I've always wanted to teach full-time, and that's always been my dream since I started teaching. So that's how I got stuck in Texas, basically. And so here I am training full-time. It's been a year in Texas, and it's changed me as an athlete. Professor Brian brings a unique take on jiu-jitsu with his experience in the military. He was, you know, he's 20 years in the Army, and he also helps a lot of individuals who struggle with different types of hurdles, whether it be physical or mental. As I said before, he's president of the We Defy Foundation, which they provide therapeutic relief to combat disabled veterans through jiu-jitsu. And the foundation has a bunch of all-volunteer on their board, and so 100% of all the money raised goes to the disabled combat veterans training jiu-jitsu. And there's a lot of growing research that indicates the benefit. They did brain scans on before and after training jiu-jitsu for veterans, and there was a lot of improvement. So not just veterans benefit from training jiu-jitsu, people like myself who, you know, I don't have any military experience, but I had trouble with anxiety, and it was something that I needed. And so he had that unique experience to kind of influence me in that sense, because he had already been working with unique individuals. So it just was like, it felt like home there. And I had to say yes, because it felt like the right choice for me at that moment. And it's proven to be the right choice ever since. So looking forward to what the future entails here.
Yeah, it truly was the right choice, because it's catapulted who you are, not just as a practitioner, but as a young person in your walk. You know, one person I need to hook you up with away from the show is Ronald Mann. He's actually suffering from PTSD, but he's also one of the head of the Veterans Administration project in this aspect. So I'd like to hook you up with him, and maybe you guys can do some stuff together helping individuals out, because
that'd be great.
The world should be. Yeah, that'd be dope. You know, I looked at some of your stuff earlier, and, you know, I seen who you would like. You know, somebody had asked you, who would you like to be your ideal training partner, or a person that you would like to train under or be on the mat with just for one session? You know, and times have changed, aspects have changed, and a lot of people have come up in the sport. Is the same person that was your idol back then, is that the same person that you would still consider your idol today, or is there somebody else that you would like to get that 15 minutes on the mat with?
I mean, I still value the same person that, like, really, you know, Jean Matuta is an amazing athlete.
Yeah.
From American Top Team, and she is such a humble person. Every time I see her, she comes up with hugs and how you are, and no matter how much she's done in this community, she's just such a down-to-earth person, and I really look up to people like that. While that being so, it's being out here has made me meet other individuals. As you know, it's a very diverse group of people that are involved with jiu-jitsu. So there's definitely other people that I had the pleasure of meeting JT Torres. I would love to train more with him. He's another down-to-earth guy that's willing to, you know, sit down with you and talk to you and give you some advice. And that's really key in my eyes when someone of his stature or her stature, or, you know, they're busy, they have a lot going on. I'm sure they have a lot of people asking questions and sending messages, and they take the time with you and sit down and talk to you. So there's definitely more people, and I'm sure there's going to be more in the future that I'll look up to. It's one of those things that it's like when my approach with nutrition, it's like, there's no one diet that fits all. There's bits and parts that I value from each dietary theory. So it's like the same concept that I apply in jiu-jitsu. Like, there's so many different types of jiu-jitsu practitioners that I really find like big role models, but they're big role models in different aspects of jiu-jitsu. So one person may have like one really awesome arm bar, or the other person is really sick at leg locks. So it's like, I take the bits and parts that I really, really look at and I'm wowed at, and also the character of the athletes too is a big thing. So
yeah, for me it'd be Felicia. If I had an opportunity, it'd be Felicia. She's under Jean-Jacques Machado, and incredible lady. She'll be on Tuesday night, and I just see the growth of women in the artistry, and it's tremendous. You know, we talked a little bit about the holistic aspect of the sport. At what point in time in your career did you realize that the holistic value added to you in what you do in this sport, and how necessary and important it is in what you do as a practitioner?
So back when I first started, I did my first competition 3 months into training as a white belt, and I never stopped competing after that. I just kept going. Every month I would compete. And so with having to stay within certain weight brackets, you know, I didn't know anything about nutrition at the time, and I was really not doing – I was not installing good habits with my eating. I was, you know, crash dieting. There was one tournament where I lost 13 pounds in 1 month, and I felt so sickly. And so I said to myself, this can't be like a permanent thing. I love jiu-jitsu, and I love competing. How can I do it in a healthier way? And so that's when I started kind of looking into dietary changes, and I started playing around with it and saw some benefits, and I was like, oh, this is getting fixed. So what else can I do with my diet? And I also noticed that it helped with, like, there was a big change in my mood when I had less sugar and less processed foods in my diet. And when I implemented more whole foods and healthier options, my mood and my recovery time, everything started to change. And slowly but surely, people started seeing the benefits that I was reaping from it, and they started asking questions, and you know, after a couple of months of people asking me a bunch of questions and coming to me repeatedly, I decided to, hey, you know, maybe I should do something with this. And that's when I decided to go to the Institute for Integrative Nutrition, and that kind of kickstarted me on the holistic side of things. I know a lot of people are not on that bandwagon yet. It's a growing way of living, growing interest in that type of living. But I also know that people, they trust more science and more answers through science. So I try to bring the science and the holistic, like traditional aspects of nutrition and the holistic side of it, and combine that so that people can see the value, so they have like the, they can trust in knowing that these are, I'm not just pulling it out of my rear ends, but it's factual. You know, these are, there's just statistics, and there's, I'm also using blood work and, you know, seeing where deficiencies are. And, you know, every week when I work with someone, it's, you know, they give me their feedback and they say, hey, I really hated this. This is how it made me feel. What do you think? And so I would continue to make modifications. So the nutrition and lifestyle choices play a huge, huge role in our performance as athletes. And as recreational individuals too, you know, people who are not competitors but also want to better their health and train. It's definitely a useful tool, and it's changed how I train. You know, I don't want to overtrain, and I don't want to undertrain, and I want to make sure that the training that I do have, I'm, you know, providing enough nutrients to fuel me, you know. And experimenting with different, you know, we have all these different fads, and you have the keto diet. And so, you know, how do endurance athletes try that out? They say there's, you know, improvements with endurance athletes on a ketogenic diet. And then there's the other side who's like, that's not good for endurance athletes, you know? So it's like a bit of trial and error. But it's been a really, really great asset and addition to what I bring on the mats. And a lot of people kind of my teammates that I help, because, you know, I haven't really, I'm getting ready to start, you know, consulting out here in Texas. I did it more in New York when I was living in New York, but I've decided the last year to focus more on the jiu-jitsu part of my life. And now that things are kind of settling in and I'm getting more accustomed out here, I'm going to start doing the consulting. So I'm sure more and more people will see why I've benefited so much, because they're going to try to, you know, use the same tools that I'm going to install in others, hopefully. So it's been a really great thing to add.
Yeah, I think I actually am starting to learn that aspect of it as I'm diabetic, with a holistic and different, you know, avenues to help my health. And I got to tell you, I was a skeptic at first, but I got a buddy out in California who's kind of hooking me up on some things. And I like that avenue, because it does make you feel healthier, better, and still, you know, great health into where I'm going, especially being a diabetic. You know, I told you my show is a little bit different. You know, sometimes in life we get an opportunity to, you know, we're walking by a mirror or a car window or just that puddle on a pathway in a park, and we look down and we get that one reflection, that reflection of ourself. Rachel, who do you see when you see that reflection?
That's a loaded question, man.
Right.
You know, like, I'm still going through a transition right now. I don't have family out here, so it's been an interesting experience, you know, to go. I'm a huge family person, so not to have my family by my side here has been an interesting but good experience. I've had huge growth personally with coming out here and changing my life out here. I guess when I see myself in the reflection, you know, I'm still going through some struggles, as everyone does, you know, with changing your life in such a dramatic way. But I feel like I'm a very strong individual too. And, you know, I see that I am able to challenge myself and still maintain composure, and that's only going to take a person farther, you know, that with that mentality. So to be so flexible with going with the flow on life, you know, like to go on a trip and say, hey, I'm going to stay here. I'm not going to come back to my home, you know, leave everything behind and just pick up and start from scratch. This is like a completely blank slate here in Texas. And I'm still, you know, this is still my adventure. There's still more to come from this and figure out, and different detours, I'm sure, ahead, you know. I'm also traveling for jiu-jitsu as well, so that kind of brings a unique aspect to my life as well. So
I like that. You know, I've never asked a practitioner this, but I'm going to ask you. I asked Kung Lee a couple weeks ago, but I'm going to ask you because I think it's relevant. I think you're that type of practitioner. Yeah. You know, what does pride, passion, and perseverance truly mean to you?
I think it's really important to be proud of yourself and to be proud of your teammates, obviously, but also to bring a humble aspect of it, to always know where your beginnings are and where you started, and that, like, you were in the same position as all those other white belts, you know. And so having that as a reminder is really important, that, you know, that I try to play that back in my head all the time. Whenever I go to events and teach seminars, I want to show that, like, I was in the same position as you guys, and look where I am now. If you don't give up, this could be your possibility. Yeah. You know, even if it's not for jiu-jitsu, if you have a dream and everyone's telling you not to do it because it's not a traditional route, screw everyone else. Make sure you put your work in and do your research and make your plan. And even if it's one step at a time, like, if I can influence one person to be, hey, you know, be like, hey, I'm going to try this. It's going to be hard, but I'm going to do it. Here's my plan. Be smart about it, obviously, but go forward. That to me is, like, I've made it in jiu-jitsu. I don't have to have all the medals and the titles and everything to feel like I'm rewarded. That would be the best reward for me, to influence my students and my friends and people in the jiu-jitsu community to go on and go against odds, take the path that's less, you know, taken, and just have fun with it. Because I did that for myself, and it was the best choice I ever made for myself, because it changed me for the better. I used to be such an emotional person. Everyone got to me, and I used to always worry about what everyone thought. And now it's like, I care about other people and how other people think, but it's not to the same degree. I value my own opinion about myself and enough to say, hey, you know, like, if they don't see me that same way as I see myself, it's okay, because everyone has their own opinion, but I'm going to still continue doing my thing because it works for me, you know. And I just want to install that in other people. That's why I teach.
You'd made a statement about a white belt, and I, it kind of hit me, and I liked it, because I had Tom DeBlas on, and I asked him, you know.
You're naming a bunch of great people, by the way.
Well, I've been in jiu-jitsu for a while now, yeah. Tom DeBlas is one of my homies, but it's kind of weird. Well, when you've been in the business this long, you kind of get to know a lot of people. But, you know, I asked him a question, you know. I said, you'd made a reference that a black belt is truly a white belt that's striving to learn knowledge and gain as much aspect of the artistry as possible. Would you say that, even though you're not a black belt where you're at today, would you say you still carry the same mentality as a white belt?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm always learning. There's always stuff to improve. In fact, I mean, you know, I learned so much from my current school, but I also, so my boyfriend trains at a different location, the dark side, and they bring a unique aspect to jiu-jitsu as well. And cross-training has really been really great, an eye-opener, actually, because when you go to different schools, they apply jiu-jitsu differently, right? Your teammates always know your bread and butter moves and how to defend it, right? And so when you go to other schools, it's like friendly competition. You know, you have that friendship mentality still because they're all there for the same reason as you. You just want to get better. You want to learn and you want to improve your skills. But they don't know your bread and butter moves. So those are the times where it's like, those are the lessons like, okay, this worked for me, but this did not work at all. And so going to their school brings a lot of different influence in the sense that they attack more legs and guillotines and stuff. And, you know, I'm more of a chokes and arm bars and key lock kind of person, you know. So having someone attack my legs all the time is a really nice change of pace because it is something that I'd have to, as a competitor, I have to be aware of. So, you know, that I definitely am always learning and always have that white belt mentality because those, when I go to those different schools, they apply stuff that's not the same way that I apply it. So it's like, okay, this is actually a better way for me, or that's great, but it's not going to work for my body type. You know, it's always a learning experience. And so is competition. Going, being a competitor has kind of slingshot me forward a little bit more too. Because again, they don't know what your bread and butter moves are. So those are the times to really try out stuff and, you know, see where it takes you. So always learning.
Yeah, you always, it truly is jujitsu. That's one thing people don't understand. And I mean, I'm not knocking MMA because I do an MMA show every week, but jujitsu kind of just took me over. It has this, I don't know. It's just, it's hard to put into words. There's just this about jujitsu that just brings you in, and the camaraderie, like what we talked about earlier, the brotherhood, the sisterhood, the friendship, it develops you into a different person. At what point in time did you realize that you wanted to give back to the youth and teach them and share your knowledge and help others grow in that aspect?
I became an instructor as a blue belt. I was an assistant instructor for Luigi Mondelli at American Top Team Connecticut. And when I started teaching, actually, it was before I became a nursery school teacher as well. I was working as a wildlife rehabilitator for a number of years at Earth Place in Connecticut. And I started teaching to kind of help out in the school, and I was like, this is really cool. Like I'm actually learning more being an instructor, an assistant instructor, because, you know, you can't go wrong with going over the fundamentals over and over and over again, you know? And then to see the development in the students, like where they started to where they are now, like that transitional period, it's really cool to watch because it's like, it's kind of like you're watching yourself in a sense. You were once in that position, and now you're looking at it from a different perspective. You're seeing all the light bulbs go off in their heads. And then when they compete, it's like, I'm more nervous for my students competing than I am for myself. But it's just like to see them come off of the, you know, off the podium, and they give me a big hug and thank you. It's like the best feeling because they've worked so hard, and they've given you the honor to be a part of that hard work, you know? So, ended up changing my major because of that. I was going to be a veterinarian. That's what I wanted to be as a kid. And as soon as I started teaching jiu-jitsu, I was like, hey, this is really awesome. I'm going to change my direction of my life now. And I switched my major over to education. So it's funny how much jiu-jitsu influences the outside world.
Yeah, it truly does. You know, you mentioned that you worked with Fuji, you know, and I got to admit, I love that promotion. They've done a lot for me. You know, I'm one to go against the grain sometimes in the artistry of jiu-jitsu because I think it should be equal across the board. You know, when you look at the artistry of jiu-jitsu now comparative to when you first started, how much development have you seen and how much growth have you seen in the artistry itself? And how happy are you that it's going this direction?
I've seen so much change in such a short time frame. Like, it's just such an evolving sport. And I think part of that evolution is there's more female practitioners, you know, and don't get me wrong, I love the male practitioners. They bring a different element to the training. Like I actually try to motivate all of our female students to train, not just with women, but with men as well. Because it gives a more realistic aspect of training, especially self-defense. So there's been a huge change in how people train and roll, and you know the submission attempts that you see now. Actually, there's a lot more judo going on in jiu-jitsu tournaments now with the change of rules, because they don't want to be penalized for stalling. So more and more individuals are being influenced with using judo or wrestling. I happen to train in both. I'm only a yellow belt in judo, but it's played a huge role in my training. And I'm super stoked to continue to see this evolution. Every day that I come to the mats, I'm always meeting people, visit, and I'm meeting great people in the community. And I try to put myself out there and support, the locals as much as possible. But I also want to support brands that are good people behind it. And so some of my sponsors, I personally took the time to speak with them and get to know them personally and what their philosophy is. And I really, I think that's a big aspect of the jiu-jitsu community, as well as how the support we get from our sponsors. Yolo BJJ is one of my great friends. He's Eric York. He's been a huge influence in my jiu-jitsu. He was one of my first sponsors and gave me a chance. I was a no name when I first started, obviously. And, he didn't know anything about me, and he gave me a chance and wanted to sponsor me, liked what I was about, and took it from there. And we're actually getting ready to develop a women's gi for his company. I'm going to be designing that with him. So there's collaboration going on there. And, you got other great organizations, Mission 22 and We Defy. And, so it's all these different individuals influencing what jiu-jitsu is. It's not just the people who train, but it's also the people who support those people, those athletes. If that makes sense.
Oh, it makes absolute sense. You're right, because I've noticed in the last year and a half, 2 years of shooting seminars and tournaments, that there is a lot of judo practitioners now coming to BJJ seminars, and it's kind of unique, because they give each other a bad time on a whimsical note. Because the judo gi is a lot shorter in the legs than the jiu-jitsu gi, and so,
mm-hmm.
You got
the longer skirt on the judo gi.
Yeah, they all give each other a bad time, and it's funny to sit there and watch it. But, I love the aspect of them combining to create the sport, and the artistry make it better. If you had to sit back and think about how this has truly defined you, everything that you've experienced, everything that you've put your hands into, how much growth has it instilled in you? Now that you look back over your shoulder and you see where you started and where you're at now, how much development would you say it's added to you, not just as a practitioner, but as a person in your walk?
It's been a huge influence in all aspects of my life. In career, I don't just teach jiu-jitsu, I do other things. Obviously, I'm a health coach, and I work at an electrical company, and so, my days are packed. And again, to go back to what I was saying about, the influences, the benefits of training, it installs self-discipline and respect and patience. And so I kind of carry those same aspects out when I'm not on the mats in the work field. And to have a better understanding of others, and to put myself in other people's shoes, is one of the things that jiu-jitsu helped me to do. And it's been a very useful tool in working with others, in helping others. It's also been I can't even say how important jiu-jitsu has been for me and how it continues to change me as a person. It's made me a more confident person. I used to get bullied a lot when I was younger, and that was part of my anxiety, and I never really spoke up about it. And so now it's like I'm a very vocal person now, and I thank jiu-jitsu for that. I thank my teammates, my coaches, for giving me that little extra oomph, that's, you know, that support to say, hey, like, this really sucks. I'm there with you, but it's not the end of the world, and this is what we're going to do together to get through it. And so now I can kind of offer that to others, being in the position that I am, because I wasn't there a few years ago. I was not in a good place, in a good mindset. I was very lost, and, you know, depression and anxiety is not an easy thing to go through. And when you have other people who are not taking the time to, you know, sit back and just realize, like, hey, like, what you say and do has a huge effect on others. And so that, to me, is something that I always try to do for others. I always kind of, I wait to react. I wait and listen, and then I think, and then I react. And that mentality has installed a really good mentality to, you know, be a leader, you know, or just a friend, you know, like, so jiu-jitsu is like, I can't say enough about how good it is for me and other people as well.
Oh yeah, it's a tremendous set. Like I said, I hated it, but now I thoroughly love it. You know, I think I'm, like I said, 4 years into it now, and I wouldn't change it for anything in the world, because some of the greatest, you know, interviews I've had are from some of the greatest practitioners that ever existed, and I'm blessed in that aspect. You know, you've created a name for yourself. You're developing into a tremendous practitioner, and you're giving back to the youth. You know, this is another one of the whimsical questions. My caffeine's starting to kick in. But Rachel, if you had to write down a statement to be put on a piece of paper, to be put into a time capsule for future generations to open up and realize who Rachel Beach was, what would that statement be, my friend?
Just have fun. Don't overthink it. I you know, have fun. Don't let the bad stuff take over. You know what I mean? Like, there were so many years where I allowed all the negative aspects of my life to override, you know, the good. And now I'm in a position where I can say, hey, you know, I see the good stuff. So let's have fun, you know, and we'll weather through the bad while having fun, you know. So I would say, just don't be hard on yourself and just have fun. Life is short.
I like that, because you're proof that through trials and tribulation, through adversity, through change, that you can still live your dream. You can still conquer your goals. And my friend, I feel like you're just getting started. You know, I hear you speak, and it's just the love for jiu-jitsu is so eloquent when you speak about it. You know, you remind me so much of so many great professors, so I know you're going to go a long way in this aspect. You know, one thing I do like about this aspect of the sport is it truly is a thing of love. It's a thing of compassion, passion, and it develops you into who you are. Because a lot of people don't understand that jiu-jitsu practitioners don't get paid, you know, unless you're, of course, a teacher or something like that. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, these, you know, practitioners are people who are 9-to-5 workers. Then they get their gis on, they go to the gym, and they roll. And they do it for the love of it. Would you say that if mixed martial arts truly was perceived in the same way as jiu-jitsu, that the sport would be a better place?
Yeah, I mean, anytime you can add different elements to, you know, a school is a good mentality, I think. You know, always be open-minded. I think, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, see, I think they could learn, you know, because I've been interviewing mixed martial artists or cage fighters for 15 years now, from the early UFC days to Pride to Glory to you name it. And I love the aspect of jiu-jitsu now because it's pure love and there's no egos. You check your ego at the door. And, you know, Fernando Yamasaki, I got to say, was probably one of the most unique professors that I ever interviewed, because he said, you'd never look at your accolades, you'd never look at your accomplishments, you always look towards the future, because if you look backwards, then you can't better yourself. Would you say that applies to your life?
Definitely. I got to look forward, always, because if I look back, you know, it's not, I want to move forward, I don't want to be stuck on my past, so... but to go back on your other question, like, we're training with MMA fighters has brought a unique aspect of my training, because most gi players can kind of slow the pace down, and you got the grips and everything, and then you train with an MMA fighter or wrestler, and they have that quick, you know, explosive movements, and it forces you to have to react right away, or else you're going to be stuck in a bad position. So I think it's a good friendship there to have, just like how judo is with, you know, combining judo to jiu-jitsu. I think anytime you add something new to something and have the open mindset, it could be applied correctly.
I like that. You know, you're proof that, like you said earlier, you were bullied early in life and you found this path, and you know, you went on this cross-country tour, and, you know, I understand the feeling of being away from family, because in my career, sometimes I've gone 42 weeks a year. You know, how hard is it for you to be away from family and continue to grow? How hard is it for you to not have those moments or those people that you care most about there when you're going through your struggles?
It's definitely hard, because, like I said earlier, I'm a huge family person, and I miss spending time with my brothers and my mom and my dad and my sister and their children. And I'm, you know, while it's my choice, I'm not complaining that I'm out here alone, but it's something that I have to kind of work through. But with that being said, like, I still have them, that even though they're not physically here, I still have them, their support, you know. Recently, I competed at Fight to Win Philly, and my father drove over to Philly from Connecticut, because I'm originally from Connecticut, and just to see me fight. And he's been my number one fan. Like, he's been telling me to never quit, because this is your dream, and if he followed his dreams, he would be doing something completely different. And he didn't follow his dreams, because he listened to others. So he's always a person to motivate me to stick with it, because it's something that I, you know, is meant for me. And so when I saw him at, you know, I went straight from the stage to my father, and it was a very long embrace. And I'm sure everyone was kind of choked up about it, because him and I were kind of getting teary eyed just seeing each other, because it's been quite some time since I've seen my family. So anytime I get to see them, it's important. And for my father to be, you know, at something that is so ingrained in me and a part of me, and it's my identity, it's really nice to have that support. So it's hard to not have my family side by side here, but at the same time, like, they support what I'm doing, and they're happy that I'm doing it, and they're always telling me how proud they are of me. And, you know, I always have them in my mind. I have a poem that I have in my duffel bag that I carry with me to every single tournament since I started jiu-jitsu for my father. So, you know, it's hard, but it's good for me. It's a good growth to be away and to be independent and have the ability to say that I can do stuff without my family, but still have their support, you know? So
that's tremendous. You know, Rachel, what do you got up on your plate coming up in the future? I mean, I know you're quite active, and, you know, you teach, you train. What promotions are you looking to partake into next?
I plan on taking, I've been kind of going back to back with tournaments and super fights and stuff. So I think the remainder of the winter, I'm going to take time off from competing and then jump back at it in the spring. I would love to go out and do the ADCC trials in February. That's definitely on my mind. There might be a possibility of me doing another Respect 4. And hopefully in the future, another Fight to Win and maybe some Submission Hunter matches as well. I'm kind of like a wing it kind of person. I go with the flow, and if an opportunity presents itself, then I'm going to go for it. Obviously, if something happens before spring that is like, you know, an opportunity that I can't pass up, I'm not going to be like, oh, I'm waiting till the spring, you know. But for now, I need to give myself that time to kind of fix some of the things that I've been making mistakes on out there in the competition circuit. Last week I took a complete week off from training just to give my body some recovery time, because, like I said, I've been going back to back with tournaments and matches and everything. So definitely I would say ADCC trials in February is on my mind, one of the first things.
That'd be cool. I got one more question for you, and then we'll let you get. You know, jiu-jitsu gives people a lot of intent, perseverance, and a true purpose in life. What would you say the greatest purpose jiu-jitsu has instilled in you and has allowed you to move forward?
To kind of sit back and see what people are going through and be sympathetic and give, whether it needs to be tough love or a softer approach, like I have the ability to see what direction I have to take with each person now that I encounter. So that's been something that I've taken from jiu-jitsu.
I like that. You know, I apologize that I kind of got tongue-twisted in the beginning of the interview. It was a long night for me. I had to watch Dan last night. But hopefully you enjoyed the show.
Absolutely.
You know, I think in life we always don't give the people that have helped us, pushed us, instilled intent, or just stood side-by-side with us enough credit, or we don't get the opportunity sometimes, because a lot of shows only go, what did you do wrong your last camp, what are you going to do right your next camp, you know, how are you changing this. But I like the role a little bit different, and like I said, I'm sorry I wasn't on point today, but you had an opportunity to give thanks to those who helped create you, Rachel, the ones that still instill value in you and the ones that stand by the side of you, if you had to make a statement of thanks towards them people, what would that statement be, my friend?
Yeah. Just thank you for taking the time to you know, be the support system that I needed, you know, to work through my struggles. I've been blessed with so many great coaches, from Luigi Mendelli to Steve Olivier to now Brian Marvin. Like, I've been so blessed to have their mentorship, and I really appreciate them for the fact that they, not only my coach, but they're like a family member. They're like brothers to me. It's really hard to put it into words, my appreciation to those individuals, but I really love them as my family. So
that's tremendous. You know, I'm truly honored to join the show today. Like I said, I apologize for being a little tongue-twisted. Sometimes our brains run 1,000 miles an hour, and we can't actually say what we're thinking. It's kind of crazy. It won't be the first show I screwed up on. It won't be,
that's okay.
Won't be the last.
This was a fun interview.
That's what makes it unique. But
not a problem.
You know, it was truly an honor and a blessing to have you on the show today. What you've done in the artistry is tremendous, and who you are as a person is even greater, because you're giving back to the future of what you believe in, and there's not very many people like you left that are truly doing this. You know, you're probably 1% in this whole United States that gives back to the youth, and I commend you for that. You know, it was truly an honor, like I said, to have you on the show today. I'm going to toss the mic to you. If you have any friends or family, social media sites, or just anything else you would like to add to the program, the floor is yours, my friend.
Thank you. I appreciate you saying that. That's really nice of you to say. It's nice to have that appreciation after how many years of hard work and putting myself in bad positions and getting through those hurdles. So I really value when someone can, you know, see that the hard work ethic that I've put behind it. But shout out to my school, Hensel Gracie Houston, Ancient Nutrition, YOLO BJJ, Edo Tattoo, let's see, Genko Pura Oil. I'm sure I'm missing people, man, but, you know, I have much love for everyone. I also want to just quickly mention on Veterans Day, from 10 to 12 at Hensel Gracie Houston, we're doing a roll-a-thon for We Defy, and it's just $20 it's an open map kind of format. Just come and roll and give back to people in need for our veterans. So that'll be on Monday, on Veterans Day from 10 to 12 at Hensel Gracie Houston. It's our We Defy roll-a-thon. So if you guys can show up, I would really love that. And any women or men that is having a hard time, don't hesitate to reach out. And you know, I'm always happy. Sometimes I have to, you know, I'm at work or something, I can't respond right away, but I'm always happy to respond to people. So if they're in need and they need advice, they can definitely reach out to me.
Most definitely. Now, where can they find you on social media?
I have an athlete page. If you go to Rachel Beach on Facebook, my website is currently under construction, so I don't have that up right now. But you can definitely follow me on Facebook if you go to Rachel Beach. And then on Instagram, I have RB Jitsu. That's RBJITSU. So those are the two main social media platforms that I use. And obviously, everyone's welcome to come visit our school and, you know, see me there. I'm there every day. I teach every day. So I'm always there to lend an ear or show some love to people in need.
Most definitely. And I'm glad I got that link fixed for you because I know that meant something. And just to let you know, I never delete a link. That link will be there forever. If you ever want to go back and listen to it, share it, do whatever. I archive every link that I do for every show. So if you want to listen to it 10 years from now, it'll still be there. And it was truly an honor to have you on the show.
Thank you.
You truly are a great person in your walk. And thank you for allowing me an hour of your time. I didn't mean to go this long, but there's so much
to you that I
don't think one show is justice.
It's my pleasure. I have the gift of gab, so I don't mind talking about jiu-jitsu and nutrition and everything in between. So.
Well, I truly appreciate it, my friend. Oh, it's been my honor. Thank you, and you have a tremendous day, Rachel.
You too. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Rachel Beach from Rachel BJJ. Go give her a like, a follow. On that note, I want to thank Finished MMA, Juan Martinez, Cutman for Hire with Jacob Stisharan and Juan Rodomares, Bite Me Mouth Guards with Joe Rice, and the 86ers.net with Alfred and Freddie. Without them, this show wouldn't exist. I want to wish Irma Linda Martinez, one of my sponsor's wives, success on her surgery. My prayers are with you. On that note, have a good day, and God bless.
What up, it's your boy Slone Bone of the Mo Thugs Movement, part of the Bone Thugs and Harmony family tree, the 86ers brand ambassador. Check it out, though. Listen, in a world full of followers, be proud to be different. Be an 86er. So what I need y'all to do is go to the 86ers.net. We got the dopest apparel, men and women, everything you need for a fresh start. I'm talking tees, zip-ups, tanks, hoodies, and the best hats at a price nobody can match. I'ma ask you this, though. What do your clothes say about you? If you don't know, come to the 86ers.net and find yourself out. And a special shout out to Don McGuire, the host of The Fighter's Voice. Salute, big homie.
matter where I come from, people always get money. Turn to four to week and Friday, all the way to Sunday. Got the cooler in the back, find the party, call your buddy. You know it's going down, cause we turn on like no other. I said where I come from, people always get money. Turn to four to week and Friday, all the way to Sunday. Got the cooler in the back, find the party, call your buddy. You know it's going down, cause we turn on like no other. Ride right around town with the radio on. Cross the kind of lines when we all grew up. Big trucks, big tires, and we all dig up. Mud holes deep in your night roller. My truck is tall, swinging the mud. Better jump to way by the house before I call up some dogs. Let's get it done.
Homie, grab a chain in case we're getting stuck. We roll.